Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. A place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 219 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, it's going to be part two of 2017, the year in review. Now, if you listened last time, you heard us go all the way to August. Well, this time we're going to pick up right from there, and we're actually going to be minus some voices. But before we start, let's hear who we do have this week. First, Sam. Hey Sam, how's it going?
It's great, Ed. Can't wait to finish out 2017.
Yep, I know. We're getting to 2018. I haven't written 2017 all week, so I'm pretty happy. We also have Lisa back with us this week. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Great. It's great to be back.
Yep. So now what we're going to do is we'll start with August, and we'll start picking up on some of the things that we didn't talk about yet. And based on the way this year went with D23 and the announcements and things actually opening up, we might repeat a couple things, but I never think that's a bad thing.
Never. Not if you have new good points to bring to it, because I've had some time to think about it, which is good. So August.
Here we go. It's getting warm.
It is getting warm. We're back from Disneyland at the D23 Expo. And in August, which we talked about last time, we saw the closure of the Great Movie Ride and Ellen's Energy Adventure. Those officially shuttered up with a little fanfare, I guess. There was some, because there were some T-shirts that you could find. There were a lot of events around it. The last ride on the Great Movie Ride, and really the last ride on Ellen's Energy Adventure, turned into sort of events. I don't know if you guys followed any of that or not.
Yeah, we did. It actually went, 101?
It did. 101 ride down. Ellen's did.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually a really horrible ride to have it go down on. It's not a fun thing to get out of there. It's actually kind of a cool experience. Did they try to rerun it after that, or was that it?
I believe that was it. And I think if you think about it, something tells me there was something a little more going on here. The last ride, it breaks down, all the lights turn on, everybody's got their cameras and can get some up-close pictures of dinosaurs and things all throughout this.
Oh, I did not
so
see
I
the pictures.
I think something a little fishy might have been going on, but hey, it's the last ride. Let people enjoy it and capture some of the memories, and it's great things that we'll be talking about for a long time, right? I wish I was on it, quite honestly.
Right. You take the conspiracy theory there, and happy to see those pictures close up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, I wonder what they're going to do with a lot of those animatronics. Do you think they'll be using them anywhere else? Because there are some pretty cool dinosaurs in there.
I think as with anything with Disney, if they can use it somewhere, they will. If they can't, it'll be shipped away.
If they can't, you know, that's the kind of stuff that all ends up for parts otherwise, right? Those animatronics, the hydraulics underneath, who knows where it ends up?
That's true, too. And I haven't seen animatronics for sale, but you do see a lot of the stuff out of the Disney parks and hotels and things like that that end up going for sale at a third-party vendor. I don't think this will go that way at all. But how about the cars then? What do they do with those?
That's a great question.
That's a fabulous question. Those things aren't going to be easy to maneuver.
They're huge.
And what else can you use them for other than like a trolley down the middle of the street somewhere. I don't know. Plus, you'd have to have the street having that cable in the floor so it follows the magnets or whatever it does around.
Yeah, that's a good one. What could you use that for? That's a show in the future there, Ed. Take the pieces and parts out of Ellen's and assemble something with them. Or Ellen's and the Great Movie Ride, because now we could have John Wayne and Ellen DeGeneres in the same scene.
Fair enough.
I wonder if Ellen gets her animatronic.
She asked for it on her show not long after that closed. There was a YouTube video of Ellen pleading for somebody to track down that figure because she wanted it.
Which one? The one that, where she's Tarzan swinging through the trees? Or because there were a few.
Yeah, it's got to be the one by the pterodactyls.
The one where she's pushing back the dinosaur, that one there. If I can find, I will look for that and put it in the show notes because it was, I just thought it was funny. It was, she was on the set of her show and said, this is horrible. The ride, the attraction closed. I have to have this animatronic. There's word that it's going to be destroyed. Somebody at Disney, please listen to me. I need this thing. And she was basically pleading to get her animatronic. I don't know if it worked, but it was funny.
I just came up with one of those like light bulb ideas. Just let's pass it on. Then we'll move on with the review. If they had a opportunity, I think they would take the Wonders of Life Pavilion. And you know what? Let's make that the extinct ride pavilion. Let's have that small theater. And you're going to watch Ellen's Energy Adventure from beginning to end. Or in the other pavilion where they used to have maybe one of the other rides, you're going to watch Horizons. And you'll be able to go in a point of view ride through that. I think that would get a lot of people going through there.
I think you would make a lot of Disney Parks fans very, very happy. And I think a lot of people would be like, what is that? I don't get it.
Tie in the merchandise because you'll have shirts. You'll have all those retro shirts that'll look cool. And they won't even have to know what it was to begin with.
That's right.
Okay, let's move on.
Of course, as we approach fall, we got the dates for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, 32 nights this year, which was more than ever before. So more parties, more trick or treats. You know, that's just an annual thing that happens every summer preparing for the fall.
Right. Now, that means that's a lot of half days in Magic Kingdom or a lot of closing early days. I did notice that we were scheduling in November, how many nights they were having for those different events.
Absolutely. The Not So Scary Halloween Party starts in August. So the last week of summer, where schools have not gone back yet, the Halloween party has started. And I actually ran into that because I was there in August, the middle of summer. You were there on summer vacation and you walk into Magic Kingdom and it's decorated for Halloween.
And I was there too, Sam. We met up. And yep. I left the night before the very first Halloween party, and I actually attended the very last Halloween party this year.
There's that much time in between it that you got bookend trips there. That's awesome, Lisa. I love it. Also in August, we learned that Lucasfilms and The Void would be opening a new hyper-reality experience at Disney Springs, Star Wars Secrets of the Empire. As cool as this sounds, I've not been able to experience it. It's in the back half of what used to be Once Upon a Toy, if you're familiar with that area. Looks really cool, and maybe someday I'll get to experience it.
I had reservations for this for my trip in February, and I had to postpone my trip, therefore postpone my reservations. I plan on doing it in May.
Have we heard anything from it yet?
I know that it's opened. It has opened very recently here. I have not heard anything from it. I've seen a couple of pictures. You know, I think in the bigger picture of things and the way that Disney's been doing things, this has to somehow tie back into the experiences that they're working on for Galaxy's Edge and the Star Wars Hotel. This is just a test for how this stuff can all pull together.
Yeah, nice. We'll have to reach out to some of our Orlando friends and see, bring some information next week.
Or, you know, get Lisa down there sooner.
Or send Jimmy over there. Wait a minute.
Jimmy's down there. Hey, Jimmy.
Get on the phone. Get him over there.
Now, this is, so the Void is a...
Oh, well, you need to get the reservations. That was the thing. They were booked, like, solid right when they announced it or they opened them up.
Right. The Void is a chain.
Correct, yeah.
If you look that up, the Void is a chain. So while it's Star Wars right now, if they take what they learned from that and put it in the parks, then they could probably take something else that might be coming in the future, a la Epcot, and make something that they could release at the Void as well.
It's definitely an experience that I look forward to. It's another reason to go to Disney Springs. Not there is it enough with all the things that have opened and been there recently, but it looks really cool. Also in August, in the fall theme, we got details for the 22nd annual Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, adding more days with a total of 75 days celebrating its 35th year of Epcot. So for Epcot's 35th, this was 75 days from August 31st to November 13th. The festivals just keep getting bigger.
No arguments here. They can keep the festivals going all year long. I really love what they're doing there. And it has, even to people that work there, Epcot has become the park of festivals.
I think except for June, July, and August. Although this now creeps into the end of August, it is that's the only time there's not festivals happening at Epcot.
True, but don't they still keep some of those food kiosks open? And they do have the summer concert series, so it's almost like you kind of have something going on, too, for the summer months.
There is something going on. There's less of the pavilions, Ed, but some of those are indeed permanent. Like if you look at a great example, I think, is Germany. And the stage that they built in Germany that's used all year round. And there's some, they call it different things, but the merchandise shows up in those booths continually. So, yes, they've expanded the promenade to some extent, which is indeed cool. September, we also got official announcements. Or actually, this is an announcement that had been going on for maybe 18 months, and it finally happened. And that is, down at Disney Springs, Disney Quest officially closed its doors in September of 2017.
Right. Now, that was one of those normal closings where they announce it and like a year and a half later, they finally do it. Nothing like the Great Movie Ride.
Nothing at all. Right. This was more. Yeah, absolutely.
That was normal.
Yeah, an announcement. And then for quite a while there, we didn't know if it was going to happen. There was some back and forth with the new tenant that is building a location there, which is NBA World, NBA Zone. Does anybody know exactly what that's called?
Don't know the exact name, but I know it's going to be a restaurant, going to be buying stuff. It's going to be a pretty complete complex. I don't know if they're actually even going to have courts in there or not.
I don't think so. I think this is, believe it or not, there used to be an NBA restaurant over at Universal.
Universal, that's right.
A while ago. And it's relocating, and it is restaurant-themed, some games inside, that sort of thing. So that's what's coming to the old spot that was Disney Quest. It's gone right now. If you went down now in 2018, it is gone. Nothing's in the spot.
Did you guys make it to the Disney Quest?
I've been several times. I hadn't gone probably in the last 4 or 5 years, but it was a great place to go on a rainy day. I really loved heading on over there. I like the old school arcade games.
I agree with Elisa. It was a great rainy day spot. And for a while there, its admission was included with annual passes for a couple of years. And we leveraged it a few times then because it was an additional admission. I don't know that I ever paid extra to get in, but if it was raining and we were there, Disney Quest in a movie was a great thing to do on a rainy day.
Oh, yeah. We did it like 4 or 5 years ago when the first rumor started. And, we only went the one time and it was a fun time. And, it's actually the only place toward the end where you could do the Disney artist. You could draw your own Disney character. They still had that in there.
I did not realize that. Cool.
Mm-hmm. That was down on the animation floor where they had all those different types of activities with colors and drawing.
Oh, yes.
That one like open area where they had those stools, and I don't remember if they had tables. I think you had to hold your, boards or stuff like that. Excuse me. But still, the entire concept of that place was pretty cool. I loved the idea when it first opened up because that was cutting edge. I mean, the rides down on the first floor where they have all the interactive rides, the river raft and the pirates, that was just great. I mean, I love that stuff. It was a little bit, kind of felt a little old tech, but it worked very well.
And then this falls right back into the question that you had before. What are they going to do with all of the things that are inside that building?
Yeah, I see that stuff probably going to the third-party vendors, you know? Because a lot of the arcade stuff, a lot of that... Actually, you could see any of those rides in the arcade. Right? I don't know if they were Disney, quote-unquote, full Disney-themed activities. It wasn't like Pirates of the... Well, maybe Pirates of the Caribbean, but you don't have to say that. Or the River Raft ride, right. Same thing. It wasn't Jungle Cruise as much as it's just a River Raft ride.
They had the virtual reality, one of the first experiences I had in there with Aladdin's Magic Carpet, if you guys remember that. That was where you put the headset on and looked around and flew the carpet. And by today's standards, it was pretty primitive. But if you think about it, this place opened in 1998. It was there for almost 20 years. And I think some of the technology towards the end was dated. But if you don't invest in technology and keep it current, you're going to end up with an issue where it feels dated. But remember, this was part of a big concept that Disney had created once upon a time, and they were going to open these things in Philadelphia and Chicago and all over the country, if you remember right.
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia was supposed to get one. I was very disappointed when that thing went away.
Yep.
So now we're... unfortunately, looking at a blank space, and it appears as though 2019, the summer of 2019, is projected for the NBA experience.
NBA experience. Thank you, Lisa.
Which seems as though it's a good partnership, as ABC, Disney's conglomerate there, has a great partnership and contract with the NBA.
Oh, sure. It's not going to hurt. ESPN is right nearby.
No, and if you're a fan and there's a game play and that's going to be the place to go see it, it'll work out well. Maybe not my cup of tea, but others I could see, absolutely. If there was an NHL zone or something down there, I'd be
now there. You're talking.
Well, that's exactly it. I'd be there.
But
all.
Then that's, but compared to basketball, probably not as popular.
I would agree.
Throw the money at
it. I would agree.
Right.
And I have no problem with this. This is awesome.
Right. And 2019, that's cool because you know what? There's so much else going on right now in Disney Springs. You're not even going to notice it's there, not there.
Yeah, so, and this is sort of the revitalization of the West Side. If you think about Disney Springs and what has happened, it was really all about that center part and parking lot that became Disney Springs, the transition from downtown Disney with all the new shops and new construction. And now we know that they're working on the World of Disney store. They're doing some cool things there on the other side. And now you're going all the way down on the West Side past what was one of the first things with the bowling alley down there, right? That Splitsville, you're just past Splitsville where you had Disney Quest and you had La Nuba, which we also heard was closing as well. That's Cirque du Soleil La Nuba. There's a lot of room down there to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that was the other thing that happened in September. We saw the announcement the Cirque du Soleil's La Nuba would be closing as well.
With its last show on December 31st.
Yep. Well, they streamed part of that live, which we shared over at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. It was pretty interesting to watch. I had seen that show once. Have either of you guys seen La Nuba?
I had not.
I went once, and you guys know how often I get to Disney World. I went once because it was a DVC 50% off ticket offer that I thought, let's do it. It was really cool. It's Cirque du Soleil. It was absolutely fascinating. The acrobats and you name the performers, absolutely amazing. Afterwards, I felt like, okay, that's cool. We did it. I don't know that I need to do it again. But that had a really long run at Downtown Disney as well.
Right. Yeah, I always considered it just something extra to do, and it's on a list of extra things that we just never got to. I mean, it's the extra ticket, it's the extra time, so, you know, it kind of fell down on the list a little bit. Plus, I've seen other similar type of performances.
Yep, and they hit the road every once in a while, the Cirque du Soleil. Now, we do know that later in the year, there was an announcement that they are working on a new show to go into this place, Cirque du Soleil and Disney. And the teaser was that it would be Disney themed, which has us thinking all over the place what this could potentially be. But if there's something that comes into that location that's Disney themed, like Mary Poppins and people jumping all over, a Jungle Book, or you name it. I think I'm in it. I'm going to go see that.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds really interesting. I can't wait to see the interpretation of the Disney characters they'll do in this type of performance. It'll be cool.
Right. Anything that's Disney themed down there, you're gonna see more traffic, more ticket sales, and I think that's what they're looking at for the bottom line.
Absolutely, it's all about the bottom line. As much as we don't want it to be, sometimes it is.
Right. Well, that pays off sometimes, so sure. That's good.
Late in September, we saw some new openings over at Hollywood Studios, that being Grand Avenue and the Baseline Tap House. We had some live videos and we had some reports from those events. But essentially, the Baseline Tap House is a new counter service location, if you want to call it that, in the location that was formerly the Writer Stop. And Grand Avenue is the location between that and Muppets Courtyard, sort of where the Streets of America used to start. There's an avenue there that's set in Los Angeles that sets us up to move into Galaxy's Edge in a few years.
Right. And this what they did over there with this part of Hollywood Studios is, I really thought I was not necessarily going to like it, but when we walked over there and how wide open it was, I really loved it.
It really does open up when you walk back.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how open it was, because why was it never that open? Because that was really a kind of a bottleneck area there too. By Star Tours and Writer's Stop.
Essentially from Star Tours all the way to Writer's Stop in what used to be the backdrop of New York Street, that is completely gone and wide opened, and there's lots of space.
Oh, that's why, because you had that thing to walk around.
That huge backdrop was there.
Right, right, that people would park their carts against or just hang out. Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Blah. We also saw some changes in One Man's Dream becoming Walt Disney Presents, including a model, and the first time we saw a full model of Toy Story Land, which will be opening in 2018. That was sort of cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. I mean, that place is always the preview area, which is really nice. One of the changes that I thought was kind of an odd change was that they have a meet and greet inside there now. When we were down in July, we got to meet Groot, baby Groot, and the other guy from Guardians.
Star-Lord.
Yes.
Peter Quill. And so that was pretty cool. But it was like, as you walked into the exhibit, as you walked past Walt doing the Epcot presentation on your left, and you walk straight ahead into the character meet and greet. Which was kind of an odd thing. It's just that it was part of that building. Usually they don't do like two different types of things together. It would be like another entrance or something like that.
Yeah, and they're really advertising it now as three different things in that building. What used to be One Man's Dream now is the Walt Disney Presents Gallery, and it's your meet and greet location, and it's One Man's Dream, which is referring to the movie that's in there, which is the original Walt movie. So it's three things in one, but you're right, it's kind of confusing, but it lets them put three different things on a map too, if you've noticed.
Oh, sure. Oh, no doubt. And the movie in there sometimes is cool, because they'll change that out if they have a preview coming for something that's going to be released soon. And they'll say that on the board outside, Walt Disney Presents, boom, the other movie.
October 1st saw Epcot celebrate its 35th anniversary with Epcot 35. We were able to attend some of those events, and Epcot 35, really an amazing, nostalgic look back at the beginning of Epcot, what they did to the Odyssey location, and adding photographs of the history and where things are going. I absolutely loved being at Epcot on the 35th, and I think that feel was part of the whole Food and Wine Festival itself.
Well, certainly everything that day from start to finish, and I know, Sam, you were able to experience that firsthand and then bring it to the rest of us in the Disney Nerds community, which we appreciate for certain. But just the presentation at 10 a.m., through some of the interviews that you were able to do after that, all the way up to and including Illuminations, the follow-up to Illuminations, and the music afterwards was just, talk about a whole day full of nostalgia, especially for somebody like you, where Epcot's your favorite park.
Absolutely. And you know, we know Illuminations is all about the music and the lead up to it. And it was all the same until after Illuminations finished. And then they did that 35th anniversary tag, which was absolutely amazing. The amount of pyrotechnics they had going off inside the lagoon. And then after that, the soundtrack was just nothing but classic Epcot songs, from, you know, Veggie Veggie Fruit to Horizons to you name it. It was there.
Right, and it was such quality music. I mean, I could hear it even over the live Facebook channel. That it was really, really cool. The tag had to be at least as long as the original show was. And it was so huge that, unfortunately, Sam couldn't get all of it in the picture because it was going so high up in the air and there was so much stuff going on the lake itself that it was just out of control. So that definitely stood out as a big event.
It was amazing. 35 Epcot. Wow.
Right. The other thing that really stood out that I thought was great was that 10 o'clock presentation in the morning. And to me, it had the feelings of the opening of Epcot, when they had the people from the different countries up on the stage and the different parts of Epcot, and they all got together to dedicate it. Well, they did that kind of, I think, for the 35th, where they had a couple of different parts of the park come up. The Voices of Liberty. And they had people from the different countries come up and do some things. And it was very, very good presentation.
Absolutely. And the presentations that Ed is talking about, along with Illuminations, along with the interviews that we had during the event with Imagineers, with the president of Epcot, those are all on the Disney Nerds YouTube channel. And check those out. We'll link to those in the show notes as well, which is really cool. In October, we also saw another announcement. A pilot program was announced at Walt Disney World, allowing guests and their dogs starting in October.
Oh, yes. This surfaced, I feel like, in light of several things happening down there, but with the storms that were happening. And
the one hurricane where the people were going and hanging out at Disney World? And they brought their animals. Sophie did that.
Yes, Sophie did that.
And she was greenlit to bring her animal. And then it was, you're right, actually. I think it kind of happened soon after that one where they made the announcement.
And the pilot was for select resorts. I believe it was Riverside, the Yacht Club, and a couple of others.
One of the All-Stars.
Yes, one in each category where you could, for an additional fee, bring your dog with you. You were able to get some interesting things for your dog, including a bowl and some other cool things. But Disney welcoming pets, which is something they hadn't done previously. Interesting to see that happen. I'm not sure. To me, sure, no problem. I've been at other hotels where dogs stay, and it's not a big deal. They still offer the pet care where you can take your dog and leave them for a day. But this is a new option down there, and I think it might entice some people.
I wonder if it's still there.
I'm certain it is. I have not heard of it going away. So
you would have.
Yeah, it was such a poignant move by Disney World to make that announcement, and I do think it had a lot to do with the fact that Walt Disney World has become, to those that live in Central Florida, a shelter-in-place location when it comes to storms. They just bring in the people from Tampa and from the Space Coast anytime that there's a big storm. So I think they just allotted the rooms as an option in the event that something like that happens.
And it also sets the standard for it's going to cost an extra fee, and here's what you can and what you can't do, and it has some guidelines on sizes. And that's something that I'm sure if you're looking to book, Jimmy could get you all the details on exactly what is and isn't possible. Oh, also in October, we saw our first glimpse of one of the ride vehicles from the Slink Dog Coaster, keeping us all pumped and excited.
Right.
If there's anything to get you excited about a land coming, when, let's be honest, everybody's looking at Galaxy's Edge and Star Wars Land, but there's this Toy Story Land that's going to be opening, and to see the Slink Dog Coaster come in on the truck, oh, amazing.
You know, when I was down there in November, I didn't notice or I didn't look to see if they had the same type of entrance they have set up for Star Wars Land, for the Galactic Edge. You know how they have the big arch with the, you know, painting in the center of it. Do they have something similar for Toy Story, or are they just going to knock down a wall when they're ready to do it?
I didn't see anything that was clearly defined as an entrance.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's all the way down to the backlot tour area.
So what I noticed was the deconstruction of the building that used to be the Jack Sparrow Experience next mm-hmm. to Toy Story Mania. And I want to, that's going to be your main entrance in. So you're going to come down past what used to be One Man's Dream and sort of make that right. And that's your reveal when you come around that corner. Based on the model, there's a bunch of, you know, bricks or blocks, right, from a kid's room with Jesse and Woody sort of hanging on them that says, "Welcome to Toy Story Land." That's what the model shows. I haven't seen that construction to know exactly what's happening, but there's definitely a reveal moment when you come around that corner. And I can't
wait. Now, I wonder if it'll be open up all the way to Toy Story Mania, or if they're going to close off Toy Story Mania there, have you go through the entrance to Toy Story Land and then go basically all the way around to get to Toy Story Mania then. You know what I mean?
I do, and the way the model looks, and in fact this was confirmed because I asked the question, the entrance to Toy Story Mania is on the other side of Toy Story Mania now. So you're going to come into an entrance inside of Toy Story Land, and basically the queue is going to take you back down through and in the way that you used to go, or somehow tie back in there.
So we'll come in on the side that Mr. Potato Head is, perhaps, and then go around the maze.
Very well
way,
could be.
And then up the stairs. And
well, I'll tell you something really interesting. We did the standby, big mistake, but we did the standby the last time we were there. And notice that Mr. Potato Head is gone.
Same thing I was going to say. And I don't know that he's gone, Lisa. There's a wall that was built where he used to be.
Correct.
And I started thinking, okay, are they just going to turn him around and let the queue be on the other side? Or something's going on in there. Because I think the other thing, too, if you look at the way they did it in California, where Mr. Potato Head is in that line, he's much further up the up into the line, if you know what I mean. So in other words, mm-hmm. Mr. Potato Head in Florida is right at the end where you pick up your glasses, and everybody bottles up and jams up and wants their picture taken with him. And in California, that's not where he is. He's further back, so you can wait and take your picture, and you're not going to miss your spot in line, right? Because there's a whole bunch of queue between you and where you get on the ride, which isn't the case in Florida. But yeah, I thought the exact same thing when I saw it. They're flipping him around. They're doing something with this queue. But bottom line, the area that right now is the queue and everything that's between the restroom and where the wall is right now for Galaxy's Edge, that's all backstage area when this thing's said and done. You're going to go through Toy Story Land to get to Galaxy's Edge. Kind of cool.
Different, yeah.
And that's exactly what the map shows, and that's when we could figure it out. With some counter service inside there that we got a little details on later, and of course the Alien Spinner ride, and it's going to be a good 2018.
It is going to be really exciting to see how this park develops.
Absolutely. We also received some information on the holidays around then, of course, because the holidays are right around the corner in October. In November, of course, the Disney nerds arrived at Walt Disney World for our annual gathering. We have that to look forward to, and I think that belongs on the list, right?
Absolutely.
Sure, definitely does. Fourth annual
scavenger hunt. And the thing that reminded me of that is the press release here that the Houston Astros would be going to Walt Disney World.
We had a lot of different like events going on that weekend that it was just incredible. Every time we turned around, it seemed like there was something else going on, Astros parade being one of them.
Yep. And they were also recording the Disney Parks primetime special, The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration, that aired on November 30th. And some of us were able to do some cameos in there. Well, yep, just
no doubt.
You
saw you guys on TV.
Be lucky in the crowd, if you know
who
you
are. That's right.
We saw a lot of that going on and never had a chance to get in front of the camera, but I was really kind of impressed on how they did this stuff and really kind of seeing some of the ways they First of all, the directors talking to the crowd themselves, the reactions on TV are not even close to being natural. They are totally, the crowds are told how to act.
Absolutely. No kids on your shoulders. Put down your phones. Yep.
Right. All that fun stuff. And just seeing all that tech work and all the different things that go on behind the scenes that you have no clue while you're watching it on TV.
So just the little things like how they recorded each, you know, Nick Lachey and Julianne Hough talking to each other, and they were just doing fade outs and they weren't saying a word to each other. They were just fake talking to each other. And I thought, this is really interesting. This is them fading out or fading in to or from a commercial, but they're not saying a word to each other.
It was interesting to watch. And as it turned out, they were recording three different specials that all aired separately at the same time. There were some costumes.
It's amazing how they did
it. It is. They did the ABC Primetime special that aired in November. They did a Disney Channel special that included Raven Simone and some others. And they also did the Christmas Day Parade all at the same time. And when you watch those, you'll notice the sets in front of Cinderella Castle were the same, or the set that they used over on the street at Sunset Boulevard with the brand new illuminations of Tower of Terror in the background, and even Darius Rucker over at Animal Kingdom. It was all done on the same weekend. Crazy.
And I would add even a fourth recording that was going on there, and that was the Whoopi Goldberg special on how they decorated. That was all going on at the same time as well.
Absolutely. Cool. It's amazing. It's cool to be there and see some of that stuff happen. That's for sure.
Right. Granted, it was a little crowded, but it was kind of worth it. I thought we had fun.
Oh, yeah.
We did no parade, so to speak. In Walt Disney World, it was all entertainment acts in different stages. All of the parades were taking place over in Disneyland in California. But I've been to those parade tapings when they were in Florida. And like you said, it's amazing. The float comes down, and then they stop it, and they back it up, and they do it again. And the float comes down, and they stop it, and they back it up. And they do that about six times with one float, and then the next one comes out. And it's all, okay, cheer now. And they tie it all together later. It's interesting to watch how that all comes together.
Sure, sure. And we did our scavenger hunt again. Sam mentioned it. So it was our fourth annual scavenger hunt. We did it in Magic Kingdom this year. And we had a great time. We had 10 teams. We had so many teams, we actually had to shrink it down a little bit and combine some people. We won't do that next year. We'll have enough like maps and questions for everybody. But it was very, very fun. I hope everybody shows up again next year. I hope more people show up. It'll be a blast.
Yeah. I have to say thank you to you, Ed, for all the time that you put into those scavenger hunts. It is fun, and I love watching the people pull this stuff off.
Oh, it's so fun. And we walk around while the hunt's going on, and it's really cool because we'll see some teams running around, and we'll do different things. And the other side of the coin, which was really kind of cool this time, I got stopped by a couple of cast members. As we're walking around the parks, we always have either t-shirts or buttons or whatever saying we're the Disney nerds. And a couple of cast members actually saw the button and put two and two together. It's like, hey, we had the scavenger hunt people through here yesterday. We were answering and helping them answer questions. I was like, that was fun.
That was
really cool to hear that.
And great job on the questions. I don't know where we'll be next year, but 2018 will be fun for sure.
That's a tough one. Animal Kingdom seems to be the lead right now.
Oh, so we'll Animal see. Kingdom is celebrating its 20th anniversary in 2018.
Yes, it is.
Animal Kingdom 20 is happening. And by the way, that's sort of an interesting little segue to where I was going to wrap things up with in December. Unless you guys, did I miss anything? There's so much happening, like we said.
I'm sure we missed stuff. Let me say that again. I'm sure we missed some stuff. There's no way we couldn't. So, guys, if you're listening to the show and you know we missed something, definitely send us the emails and let us know, because we'll pick it up next week. We'll talk about it then.
Absolutely. There is one, as I was doing some research here and trying to reassemble lists of things that were happening, which, by the way, we will be much more prepared for in 2018. I ran across an article from the Disney Parks blog that talked about Casey's Corner. Of course, we all love Casey's Corner. And the fact that in 2017, Casey's created 12 unique hot dogs, one to be featured every month of 2017. Things like the buffalo chicken hot dog, the cheeseburger hot dog, the taco dog.
Where was I?
I don't know where you were. Yes, of course. I had my macaroni and cheese and bacon hot dog when I was there.
I never knew it was like a monthly thing, though. I just assumed it was a new flavored dog, and I just kind of wrote it off. Well, I was only there once during the season, so.
No, it was a monthly thing. I will say, though, in November, no, not November, because I would have been all over that November. I think in December, the flavor of the month was the old barbecue slaw dog.
Ah, see, I probably saw that and thought, oh, yeah, that's the barbecue slaw dog, which I've had before.
Right.
Yeah, that's a Jimmy favorite.
It is. Yes. It is. And I think I've told the story before when one of the times I ordered that, I was the last person in Casey's, the last person in, because we watched the fireworks and we stayed around and waited for the kiss goodnight. And I'm the guy that walks in and they close the door behind me. And I order that barbecue slaw dog. And the guy back in the kitchen looks out because he knows I'm the last one. And he goes, he basically pointed at the thing, says, is this you? And I'm like, yep. And I had the rest of the barbecue and the slaw on top of the dog. It was pretty awesome. It was quite the thing, I do recall.
You love to see that when they kind of do some extra things when there's no reason not
right.
to.
I mean, exactly.
You're the last guy.
You're
going to throw it away otherwise. Exactly. But just even having the freedom where the people know that they can kind of do that at the parks, which is awesome. I mean, there's some parks that are very, very tight, and that does not happen.
Yep. The Cheshire Cafe introduced cattails, which was a pastry with purple striped icing. I did not get to try any of these. I don't know if you guys get to the Cheshire Cafe that often.
I walk past it pretty fast on the way to Dwarfs.
On the way to Dwarfs or on the way to the restroom around the corner.
I've done the cake cups there, and nice. I wasn't impressed. So the frosting for the cake cups is too thick, and it's not light at all. So I actually haven't gone back. I'll have to check that out next time I'm there.
Here's another one I have for you guys to see if you did or not. Over at Aloha Owl, the popular Dole Whip, which we all know about, was given a new twist and can now be served atop a delicious pineapple upside-down cake.
Actually, we'll have a review of that as soon as Jimmy gets back. He was telling me about it the other night. Him and the girls were over there. They got one of everything, so everybody was taking taste tests, and they loved it.
Which usually isn't one of everything at Aloha Owl. That's not that much, right?
It's three things.
Yeah, exactly. But now there's a fourth one, and
true.
That's cool. Good.
Yeah, Angela had that in November and loved it, and she's a big fan of pineapple upside-down cake. So
okay.
See, now that was another thing I didn't hear about, and that seems like that would be a big thing.
I would think, yeah.
Dole Whips are like a major, you know, food group now.
Food group. Yes, a food group. I love it. All right. The other cool thing that we got in December was Disney's 12 days of announcements.
Yeah, they did a lot more than 12, though.
They did more than 12. It was 12 days, but it wasn't 12 announcements because there were a couple of days where they snuck a few in here.
Right.
So while we could probably, you know, get into each of these, I can mention them and maybe we talk about them high level and come back in future shows. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. The first one, day one, memorable new story elements added to the fun at the Pixar Play Parade at Pixar Fest at Disney's California Adventure.
That was an okay parade, so I'm wondering what they're going to add to it.
So it's actually moving from DCA over to Disneyland because that's where Pixar Fest is going to be.
Well, that's a big thing.
There are – and at the same time, well, we'll get to it here in a second. It looks like new floats. There's an up float. There is a float for Inside Out, and it looks like the Luxor ball has itself a float.
Oh, very cool.
Lamp.
You know what? They're probably going to have those floats that people are doing stuff on, like they did with the Magic Kingdom parade for the daytime parade. The Tangled float is incredible, and the dragon coming down is incredible. I could see kind of the same thing maybe happening here.
It looks like it. Something new to look forward to for Pixar Fest, which I think is going to be fun. That's for sure.
Cool.
The second day, we saw some more details for the transformation happening at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. That's details on the 15-story tower that's being added. And we also learned that the ever-popular Shutters is returning by name. So I don't know if you've stayed there before, but Shutters is always someplace fond from people that have stayed at the Caribbean Beach before.
Oh, no. Don't know.
It's returning, same name, different place, but that's cool. Disney's California Adventure is expanding its food and wine festival to 6 weeks in 2018. Very similar to Epcot's Food and Wine Festival, food booths set up around the promenade and around Pixar Pier, as it will be called, with some interesting food options, expanding from March the 2nd to April 12th, 2018.
That'd be interesting to see. I don't remember it being like that roomy around the promenade. At least like the boardwalk side seemed to have things on both sides.
Yeah, not the
boardwalk
side, and sort of the other side. So
that's even less space then.
Think where Little Mermaid is, and then go towards Cars right. Land, and then keep going all sure. the way down towards the Tower of Terror, or the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, as they call it.
So we're all basically through all like the greenage, the trees and pathways and stuff.
Yes,
like
yes. But it was interesting. The booths are very similar, in the way that you order, right? You order and pay, and then go up with your slip, pick up your food.
Right, right.
Very simple.
Oh, yeah, they have that.
They got that settled down. They'll take your money first. The next day, we learned that Shanghai Disneyland will be expanding on April 26th, opening its own Disney Toy Story Land. Did you guys know Shanghai was getting a Toy Story Land?
I didn't.
No.
On April 26th, so that will be before ours? April. So it's,
yeah,
it's this
about
April.
The same time, yeah.
So that's going to be the preview, I would imagine.
There is some concept art in the Disney Parks blog, and there's a link to it in from our blog that talks about it. There is a Slink Dog Spin. Slink Dog Spin is a ride where Slink Dog is chasing his own tail around and around and around a giant dog dish.
Sounds like a whip.
Right.
Sounds more like, and I don't know what they, and I'm looking at the concept art, looks more like Baron's Curve, if you guys have heard of any of those before from your local amusement park, where it just spins super fast in a circle and makes really loud noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think, like, yep. we called it the whip at Bertrand's Island.
Okay. Got it. There you go. Rex has a, Rex and Trixie are bringing guests aboard Rex's Racer, which is a thrilling ride on a U-shaped track. Looks like a track where the car goes up and then comes back through the station and up on the other side and then back through again.
Up high or just...
Like, yeah.
Looks, well, it's concept art. There's no pictures, so I really can't tell.
So it's either going to be kid height or Superman height. You ever see that Superman roller coaster?
Yes.
They go straight up and over the top. Or yeah. You curve right back down. But yep. I think it's going to be more toward the kid ride.
So, but these two both, to me, I mean, they're themed well. The theme and the architecture and the concept art looks great, but they just look like off-the-shelf amusement rides, quite honestly, with Disney spin to them, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Okay, so maybe not a preview for us.
Now, the last one looks really cool, and this might remind you of something. Over at Woody's Roundup, a herd of ponies, rounded up by Sheriff Woody himself, swing you around on their carts for a lively square dance inside a ranch set that Andy set up.
Yeah, that's a winner. Luigi's Tire Place or whatever that
was. Well, this is Junkyard Jamboree and the Alien Spinner Ride. Same thing. It's exactly the same, except now what you have is a pony, a horse that looks a lot like Bullseye, but it's not Bullseye, and you can tell by looking, and a little cart behind it that spins as the ride spins around. That's cool. All coming to Shanghai. We'll have to get there sometime. And which, by the way, that's the first expansion at that park.
I'll have to hit Jimmy up for some funds, maybe get over there.
There you go.
Right.
Next one is new images for the Skyliner, which we saw in some photo reports that we had, because there's even more images that are on the construction walls now. But we're finally getting an idea of what this thing's going to look like and where the station's going to be at Hollywood Studios and at Caribbean Beach. This is going to change transportation at Disney for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, I can't wait to see some of the things we've been talking about and see how they solve the problems of getting on and off and air conditioning. And things like that. Now, really quick, I do have some breaking news I just want to break in. Before we get away from Casey's, it seems like they're continuing on with their dog flavor of the month. Ooh. I just got a text from Jimmy. We all just did, actually. The dog of the month is the Teriyaki Hot Diggity Dog.
That teriyaki hot diggity dog.
Yep. It's an all-beef hot dog topped with roasted pineapple and onions, teriyaki drizzle, and green onions served with French fries. That actually sounds very good.
I'm looking at the photograph right now. It doesn't look too bad.
And if you don't want the fries, you can get it for $10.99.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
That's very cool. We interrupt this countdown for teriyaki hot diggity dogs.
Who says we don't love bring it. The news fresh
that's
off the
right. Places? I love it. And you know right. what? I cannot wait. Now, every trip, I'm going right to Casey's to see what the dog of the month is.
Yeah, so this seems like it's a permanent thing. Very cool.
I got no problem with it. Next on the list here of announcements was that Hong Kong Disneyland's castle would be reaching new heights with an upcoming transformation. This actually is the kickoff of a multi-year expansion plan in Hong Kong that is changing their castle significantly. And I've seen some, oh my gosh, don't touch my castle type of reaction on Twitter and other places. But it's kind of interesting. They're changing the castle.
I'm not certain. Have we seen that in any park other than, I mean, I know that they added the turrets to the front of Cinderella Castle, but I don't think we've seen Major Castle.
I don't think we've seen it. And as I look at this concept art, there's like one of the turrets looks like it's Ariel's, and another one looks like it's Jasmine's, and another, and they're all sort of combined into a single castle. You can see what's Beauty and the Beast's, and it's about as tall as Cinderella's castle, but it's a unique twist on taking all of those properties and putting them into a single castle. It's really interesting.
What property was this?
This is Hong Kong Disneyland.
Gotcha.
So they can have the new castle. I can't wait to see what it looks like. Maybe I'll see that someday too, right?
When we go to Shanghai, we'll go to Hong Kong.
That's right. The Spirit of Moana is continuing at Disney's Aulani Resort. That's a daily, I don't know if it's a stage show or if what it is exactly, but I'd love to go check that one out too.
Sure, we're going to be checking out everything.
Absolutely. So that happens over at Aulani. They announced the dates for the performers for Epcot's Festival of Arts. That's the Disney Broadway lineup. I'm sure Jimmy's enjoying some of that right now. We also learned that in preparation for Animal Kingdom's 20th, that Doug and Russell from Up would be starring in a new show at Disney's Animal Kingdom. That's kind of cool.
Now, doesn't this come with a little alternate news? Where is that show going to take place?
Yeah, the show is going to take place in the Flights of Wonder Pavilion. And Flights of Wonder has completed its run, with its last show being December 31st. So, yes, it looks like this is still a bird show of types, except now your hosts are going to be accompanied by Russell and Doug from Up, which more characters in Animal Kingdom. That's not bad. I'm looking forward to it.
That's it. That's going to be interesting. So I've seen Russell and Doug in the park, and they are how do I explain it? They're characters, but they're not like nimble characters, it seems like.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm going to be interested to see how the
interact
show goes.
With a live animal. Is that what you
right,
mean?
Right, exactly. Or with an audience other than just like saying hi and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're involved in the show. It's almost a shame we're going to see our travel guide go away, our tour guide.
That was such a great show.
It was
good. It was. I have we saw it recently, and I'm glad we did because now it's gone. It's one of those things. You know, as you're walking through the park and you're looking at something thinking, I should do that because I haven't done it in a while. Yes, you should do that because you haven't done it in a while, because it might not be there the next time you come down. Remember that.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, and you should use that as a guide. If you say, I'll just do that next time I'm here,
do it.
It won't be there. So you better get on it then.
Do it. Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
I messed myself up a lot of times with that.
Yep. All new Star Wars Days at Sea experiences were revealed. That's cool. If you're into Disney cruises and Star Wars, that's something to check out for sure.
I tell you, the kids' deck they changed over to the Star Wars theme was incredible. This just fits right into it.
So you saw some of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had it on the Fantasy. And it's the entire, I want to say it's the middle-aged kids, like the 11, 10, 11, 12, whatever club that is. And the club is split between Marvel, Pixar, and Star Wars. And Star Wars, they basically make it have almost looking like a deck on one of the ships. You have a couple consoles where you flew X-Wings, the actual full video game, but it was really cool because it was as if you're in the cockpit. And then you had just different areas that like just looked like ships and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Very, very fun. It was actually a very cool area in that we only saw it during the tour on the first day of
right,
the cruise.
Right, the only time you can get in. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, they got to open this up at like 10 at night. Just let some adults in here because I guarantee there will be people in there.
Yep. For sure. So some of the things they added, by the way, they added Jedi Training Academy with Darth Vader and Kylo Ren. They've added a Porgs scavenger hunt, which is kind of cool. They have Star Wars The Last Jedi, of course, playing in the theater. And some other little things that they've added.
I wonder if the Porg scavenger hunt is the Muppets version, like they can change the TVs out or not.
You have to wonder.
Or it'll be more manual.
Yeah, we'll have to wonder. It's a great question. A working model of Pixar Pier featuring some of the new names that's coming to DCA in 2018 was also unveiled. That's where we learned that the California Screamin' would be the Incredicoaster. They also mentioned other properties would be worked into that. That's kind of cool. On December 16th, coinciding with Star Wars Galactic Nights, we have some updates on Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, including the fleet of X-Wings that would be part of this. And now we should mention Galaxy's Edge. We had that on previous shows, but Disney did two events in 2017 at Hollywood Studios that were hard-ticketed events that were Star Wars-specific. Very interesting in the way that they set it up. It had some elements of Star Wars weekends. It had some new things to do and new announcements. And it was, in both cases, a really cool experience.
Oh, no doubt. Now, I'm not sure. I can't remember if we mentioned the way they just recreated Sunset Boulevard for the holidays with the displays on Tower of Terror and the different lights along the street and the billboards that have actually at night turn into video screens. I wonder if they're going to continue that as we go on for different events. Like if they have this Star Wars night, they'll have all Star Wars on the tower on those screens. They do another event down the road, same thing, villains perhaps, and everything is villained out.
So, Ed, it's interesting that you ask that because I see some special Halloween things potentially coming to Hollywood Studios focused around both Sunset Boulevard, the projections, and Club Villain, which I think of all of us, Lisa, you have some experience with Club Villain, right?
Yes, we did Club Villain last year. We really enjoyed it. It was expensive, though. So if they dropped the price down a little bit and made it a little bit more expansive, I think the problem with Club Villain was that it was all in Sunset Showcase in one room. I think really you were paying for the alcohol and the food. Drop the price down and make it something similar to what Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is, but make it a villain event over at Hollywood Studios, you know, a couple times in the month of October using the projections that they have that you're talking about. That's a win right there for Disney.
Sure. And you can now expand that outside of just that theater back there, right?
Sure.
One of the other cool things that I remember here, right, because for Star Wars Galactic Nights, this most recent one, they had the projections on the Tower of Terror. For the first one that they did back in the summer, they had redone the Rock and Roller Coaster to have Star Wars music.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes. They did not do it the second time, but that was sort of the come check out Rock and Roller Coaster thing, and there's some videos that you can find of it, but just Rock and Roller Coaster, you know, with Star Wars.
That would be great because you start out with the main song as you're waiting to shoot off, and it's like, da 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 da, boom, you shoot out.
Exactly.
That would be perfect. Very cool. Okay, so one last thing that we had happen December, we can't really leave the show with a review of 2017 without mentioning it, was the Hall of Presidents reopened. Now, the Hall of Presidents has been closed for a long time, basically from before the election through this past December. and they had a lot of controversy going on, the reasons behind it, whether or not they were having issues with the Donald Trump's animatronic or the narration. But Disney finally did come out with a comment saying that they actually spent a lot of time on the theater redesigning the show, and it has proven that they've done that. It was an incredible, incredible event. They unveiled the Donald Trump's animatronic, and the entire Hall of Presidents now is the show is a little bit different. I remember seeing the videos when they came out, and now when they do this, the part with the president speaking, they have a much, much less... how do we say it? It's not really as busy as it was, and they have the background that kind of is animated and lights up and stuff like that. Am I remembering this right?
Yes.
So they have spent a lot of time working on this. The reviews are kind of mixed as far as the animatronic. I never liked the Obama one, and this one to me looks almost as bad. So, in my opinion, only. But it's, you know, of course it sounds
so,
just like them.
A couple of things that I'll take from it. Number one, it did kind of come out of nowhere because we hadn't heard anything. History had told us all the time that there's an election, a new president, the attraction goes down and it opens for the 4th of July for one big thing. And 4th of July came and went. We didn't hear anything. Then in December, boom, there's a new animatronic. Okay, cool. Awesome. And I did see some pictures of it where the animatronic looks really bad. But to be honest, when you record or take pictures of an animatronic, it never really looks good.
No.
If you're up close, the voice always seems to be off with the lips. But when you see it in person, it looks great. So I'm not going to judge it until I see it.
Correct.
And well, here's the other side of it too, though. You see in the videos Lincoln and you see Washington and you see some of the and they look really good. So... based on that, is it just because we never saw those guys live? It might be different. We think that they're perfect. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I don't know either. I will. It's a reason to go see Huddle Presidents, and I will.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I'm looking so forward to seeing it just because, like I said, the whole thing has been revamped, and that to me is always worthwhile checking it out.
They even changed the artifacts that are out in front, if I remember right. They did some changes and tweaks there.
Which is great. Now, I hope they want to. I hope they do something like that over at the American Experience at Epcot, because they used to change out the exhibits in there a lot. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, agree.
Anyway, well, okay, guys, that was 2017, and wow, was it a big year. However, I think 2018 is going to even be bigger.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of things to look forward to in 2018 with Toy Story Land opening up, with some of the more attractions being improved, and I guarantee we're going to be seeing more restaurants too we haven't heard of yet.
Animal Kingdom 20. Yep, I think there's some cool things coming there.
Yep, very cool. So, if we missed anything, please let us know. Email us at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. So, if you want to get in touch with any of the hosts, use our first name at thedisneynerdspodcast.com.
And stay tuned for next week, guys. We were able to interview a former Disney animator, Thomas Estrada. He spent some time talking to Jimmy and I about the process of Disney animation. He was an animator on several Disney films and did the animation for Disney Infinity. So look forward to next week's show.
Oh, no, I can't wait. I told my son about that, and he totally knows about this artist, the animator here, because he's a big Infinity fan. So very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Really looking forward to that.
Can't wait to hear it. And I think that wraps us up for this week, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We really appreciate it, because you know what? Without you guys, this wouldn't be worth it. Okay, guys, so that's it for this week. Show number 219. For Lisa, Sam... this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Congaloosh!
So long, everybody. If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So